I have I actually have several items on my agenda this morning.
Yes, you do.
The first three should be relatively short. They're in regards to close out of several of our contracts regarding our regional SOAR projects. The first two are in regards to the Angola Sanitary SOAR District, contract number 09-16. It's known as Angola Neck Park, the Cove on Herring Creek, Pump Station 320 and Pump Station 321. The contractor was A.P. Crowell & Son. The bid amount was $3,725,000. We are here to grant substantial completion effective March 11 of 2011. If there aren't any questions, I have a motion I can read.
Any questions, Mr. Rizzo? Please read the motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants and the county engineering department that Sussex County Council grants substantial completion effective March 11, 2011 for Sussex County contract 09-16 Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to A.P. Crowell & Son, and that the final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
We'll entertain a motion from council.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The next contract is also in regard to the Angola Sanitary Sewer District. Contract known as Angola Road, Camp Arrowhead Road, Pump Station 315 and 316. The contractor was American Paving Corporation. The contract amount was $4,377,000. Substantial completion is proposed to be granted on March 5th, 2011, and I also have a motion I could read regarding it.
Please, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants in the county engineering department that the Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective March 5, 2011 for Sussex County contract 09-08 Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to American Paving Corporation, and that the final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract document.
Motion,
council.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Yes.
Cole. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Next.
And similar situation, however, this time it's in the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, expansion number one. It's contract 09-13 with Teal Construction Company. The original bid amount was $2,907,000. Substantial completion we are proposing to grant effective April 25, 2011. I have a motion I can read.
Please read the motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants and the county engineering department that the Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective April 25, 2011 for Sussex County contract 09-13 Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District expansion number one to Teal Construction Incorporated, and that the final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
I'll make the motion, but I have a question on it.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Question on the motion.
Is this the company that's responsible for the condition of that road?
No, they are not. They Underground Utilities is working in Oak Orchard Road. And actually, as we speak, that road has been repaved and
good.
It's in good condition.
Good.
Okay.
Any more questions on the motion? Now we'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Okay. My next item is in regard to the proposed Greenwood Library project. Just again, give you a little background on the project. Originally, we had executed a lease in 1997, and that covered approximately 3,000 square feet of the existing structure. However, in 2009, we came back and executed a lease with the town of Greenwood. That was for the entire lot. and the purpose was to allow for a 10,000 square foot structure to be designed and constructed. And again, the key being the 10,000 square foot, that being the minimum size to qualify for state funding. In January of this year, County Council executed a contract amendment with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel to perform a feasibility study. The purpose of the feasibility study was to review the conditions of the site and apportion the needs of the library over a 10,000 square foot building, and then also to prepare possible building layouts. That information was presented to County Council last month. However, at that time, the County Council asked that the engineering department and our consultant, Davis Bowen Friedel, to evaluate various building technologies. There were concerns about the use of wage rates that came with the state funding, and that would increase the cost of the on-site labor. So we were asked to look at various technologies that would potentially reduce that on-site labor, and then to come back and report to the County Council on our findings, and we're here to discuss that today. I should mention that I'm accompanied by Mr. Michael Wigley, representing Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, and I know in the audience we also have representatives from the town of Greenwood, the Friends of the Greenwood Library, as well as Count Carol Fitzgerald, our county librarian. At least I believe she's still our county librarian. Okay. With that, I'd like to ask Mr. Wigley to come up, and he can review the findings that we've put together since the last council meeting.
Please go forward, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last time we presented to you, I've put on the easel over there site option B. If you recall, what we wanted to do with the original feasibility study was first make sure the site was large enough to accommodate a 10,000 square foot building with some hopeful expansion area. That we concluded was possible. The other item that we wanted to take a look at was should we use the existing library and add on to it, or should we build new based on cost comparisons? And we came up with the conclusion that they're essentially about the same cost, but with the benefit of a new building, we have easier accessibility, and they're able to actually create a modern library with that approach. So that's where we left, and then we wanted to take a look at the issues that you had brought up last time about how the wage rates actually affect construction like this. And for me, it was a worthwhile exercise to take a look at. Everything really that I had known about it up until then was more or less anecdotal. So we've had a chance to research it a bit, and hopefully we can share some facts that make some sense to you about it. What I first of all wanted to take a look at was when you build a library, how much of the cost is actually materials and how much is labor, since what we're going to be focusing on is labor. And with a library, it's typically about 50-50. So right off the bat, we're looking at 50% of the construction cost being library-related. If you remember the budget cost that we looked at, we were in the $3.1 to $3.2 million.
You said library-related. You meant labor-related?
Labor.
For construction labor of a library, related. Yes. Mm-hmm. Of the $3.2 million budget, some of it was for furnishing, some of it was for administrative costs for the county and some other costs. So when you really boil it down, it's probably in the 2.8 construction, so about half of that would be labor-related.
Half of that? 2.8 goes to labor? Okay, would
yes,
be for labor?
So half would be labor-related.
Under state rates or not?
Well, this is regardless. Just what would the labor be to construct a library, whether it's state wage rates or not? However, our budget, to answer your question, did assume that it was a stage wage rate project. So the other thing we wanted to find out was, and we thought that around 10-15% was what the premium is that you're paying for a state wage rate job. We did contact three contractors, construction managers, and they confirm that was the number that they've seen. Usually when we bid out a project, we already know by the time it goes out for bid whether it's a wage rate project or not. So we're not necessarily as close to it as the contractors are, but they did confirm that it's about a 10 to 15% premium that goes toward a wage rate project. So given those facts, what I wanted to try to do was to evaluate on a dollar per dollar basis what would be the costs of going, say, to a modular project, modular building. And what I've passed out, your first handout that you see there is a two pages devoted to modular buildings. On the first page, what we wanted to do was just give you an idea of how a modular building works. And essentially, it's creating a building off-site that can be transported by truck and delivered on-site and then constructed. And what's illustrated on this first page that I've given to you is up at the top, you see 12 by 60. Of course, they have all sorts of different lengths that you can order, but this is a typical module. And in order to construct a larger building, you would put these pieces together like you see going down the page. So what's shown on the bottom is an example of a four-unit or four-module building, which equates to just under 3,000 square feet. So for a project of 10,000 square feet, we would be looking at something about 3.5 times the size of this. So there'd be a combination of maybe 14, 15 modules to make that particular building.
I think you may be classifying modules in a primitive sense. I mean, they are making modules now that look like a normal facility, 2-3 stories, mm-hmm. multi-dimensional. I mean, it's a little unfair to throw a mobile home out in front of us and say, well, 10 of these is what you'll get.
And I agree with you, and I wanted to get into a little bit of the explanation of that, too. I'm not advocating one approach to the other, except to point out that about the costs implications when we get toward the end. But to get to your point, modules that we typically know about are temporary facilities are brought in oftentimes for schools, for instance.
Modulars, my gosh, people live in modulars their entire life. What's temporary about that?
Right. And what I was saying is most of the time, as we know it, that's how they're done. But nowadays, they are making them as more permanent structures, and they do bring them in. You do have more options with roof, for instance. But just so you understand, they're all built off-site. There are some advantages to that because they're built in a weather-protected environment. One thing that you'll have to be aware of if we go this route, that you'll want to have some inspection capabilities because once the modules are brought on-site, a lot of the work is concealed, so we want to make sure that there's that off-site evaluation of it. In Delaware, I'm aware of one company. There's several companies that make modular homes. I'm aware of one that does make commercial buildings, but there may be others as well. That's something we'd have to research a little bit more if we go down that particular route. So there are many modular buildings. As Mr. Phillips mentioned, they can be more than one story, that can be taller, but the important thing is, from a design point of view, we need to design it based on the understanding that this is going to be a modular building, and we want to make sure that that can work out functionally for the library. Now, if you go to the second page, this does show you an example of a public library building that was done with modulars. They did a creative sign in front of it. I have seen examples where you bring in the modular component, then you bring in a truss roof component. You could actually have a pitched roof. It is possible to do that. You can see the interiors are equipped as a library would be. So what I wanted to do at this point was dive into a little bit more of what are the actual cost savings if you go this route with it. With a modular building, you're still going to have some on-site costs. All of your site work still has to be on-site labor. All of your foundation work will still have to be on-site labor. So that 50% rule that I told you for libraries, for a modular building, 36% of it is actually affected by the modular building. So that's actually pretty good because that basically means 14% of your labor has to happen on-site. There's nothing we can do about that. 36% of it is affected in some way by going with a modular construction. Now, with the actual modular buildings, they say 50% of that labor is done off-site, but 50% also has to be done on-site. The actual combining of the units, connecting all the pieces, getting the roof, all the finishes, that all still has to be done on-site. So essentially what we're looking at is 18% would be done off-site of the labor. So we've gone from 50% to 18%, which is actually done off-site. When you look at the 10 to 15% premium that you pay for a wage rate job, then you're at that point looking at a 1.8 to 2.7% savings on the wage rates to go with a modular construction. Does that make sense? how that 1.8, breaks down.
1.8 or 2.7 savings that would on be the overall 10, cost, the 3.2?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, keep in mind that the labor that you are doing off-site, you know, you're still paying for that. It's just the wage rate. What I wanted to look at what the wage rate premium savings would be for you. Now, with this particular building and this particular budget, and right now I'm considering everything equal, the style of the building and all that, whether we do it modular or not, but the dollar amount for option B would be $51,700 savings to about $77,500 savings. And unfortunately, the cost to have to build the crawl space for a modular building and the ramps up offset those costs. So in our opinion, effectively, there's not a savings by going with a modular building approach.
And you have walls where the units are joined. You have walls that you really didn't want to have, don't you, to contend with between those two units?
Not necessarily. If you look, for instance, at that first page, mm-hmm. down at the bottom, you'll see that they have walls coming mm-hmm. a certain distance, but you can leave the center.
Just build them without okay. a full
pretty
wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Good.
So there's a little more flexibility than there used mm-hmm. to be. Now, we actually did do a modular, it was an institutional building down in Salisbury. We did a juvenile detention center using modulars. The company that we worked with was out of Virginia. There was savings, not necessarily because of the wage rate issue, but just because it's a simpler building style. We did have problems with how these buildings came together. We did have some problems with quality assurance with it. You can specify, when we on our end, you put together a performance specification that tries to keep an eye on the quality, but they weren't able to invest in the on-site inspection that they should have to really make sure that it came in okay. It's still there. It's still operational. The detention facility is no longer there, but the National Guard Armory is using it right now. While their building is under construction down there. So it is a system that we've used in the past.
I'm confused about the numbers. You say a 1% or 2% savings. But when we did the Laurel facility, we, I think, had a contract for $180, $190. But then when they came in and said we had to go back and pay the prevailing wage segment of that, it tacked on like $53,000, didn't it?
At $56,000.
I mean, that's a heck of a lot more than 1% or 2%. We had a $56,000 premium when we had to go back and cover the prevailing wage on a $187,000 facility.
Mm-hmm. Different kind of building.
Well, yeah. The 1.8%, that is only the wage rate savings you would see if you go modular with it. I think what you were talking about is, like we were talking about, the total labor for a contract would be 50% of it, and you would be looking at the 10 to 15% savings on that portion of it. You were just looking at the raw cost savings, if that makes sense. I'm sort of bringing it into the yeah. modulars and the savings that you know, what is the off-site labor? Because we're pulling the off-site labor and putting it somewhere else, and there's a value to that. And then you take the 10 to 15% of that value is what your actual savings are, because the balance of it's going to have to happen on site, which you're going to be subject to the wage rate.
Well, I mean, if half of that 56 was on site and the other was for the facility, that would be $28,000 on a $187,000 contract. That's still 15, 17%. A long way from the 1% or 2% that you're suggesting. It just doesn't add up. I don't
see. There's not bigger percentage of labor involved with that building.
Did you say the savings was 17%?
15%.
15%.
That falls into the 10 to 15%.
But you're saying that of the 50% that we still have of the labor that we still have to do on the modular once it's on site, we still are subject to state prevailing wage rates.
That's our understanding. Yeah. Yes.
Not so. There is a piece, even if we do a modular, there's a piece we still have our subject.
Yeah, correct. We don't totally avoid it. Mm-hmm. Is what you're saying, but no. We avoid some of it, right? Because the stuff that's being built off site, we don't pay there, right?
That's
right. Isn't that right? So we do reduce something by going to a modular.
Where you're getting down to a lower percentage.
That's
first of all, you only have the 50%.
Maybe the best way to find out is design a building and put it out for bid to the the stick-built guy and the other guy and see where the savings are. That's about the only way you're going to find out. We could sit here and go around in circles for...
You just took the word out of the mouth.
But I think what he has presented so far is probably not practical to be built by a modular company. He's looking, correct me if I'm wrong, but
I've come to that conclusion. I've come to the conclusion that I don't think modulars are the way to go if your intention is to save on the state wage rate premium.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you made a design that could be offered to the modular company for bid?
We could, but there might be other options that might even be more interest to you from a cost savings point of view and also satisfy the functional requirements of the library. The second handout.
I guess one of the issues is modulars I have found to be sometimes better built, sometimes more efficiently built, i.e. cost savings. So if you have an apples to apples, throw the prevailing wage out the window, there may just be a significant savings by a bidding modular company. There may be the opportunity for a local modular construction facility to build and keeping jobs here in Sussex County.
Right, that could be the case, and I would never speak negatively about the quality of a modular building per se. It's just like any general contractor that comes in, you're going to have some good and you're going to have some that aren't so good.
Back to what I was...
Can you explain this next handout?
I'll do it quickly and be happy to answer other questions. What I wanted to do, once I realized that in order to bring a modular in, we're going to have to build up the foundation and build the ramps and it offsets the wage rate savings that we're looking at, I wanted to see, are there other systems that we could take a look at that might also pull some of the work off-site, give you some savings, and also give us some of the flexibility with the building. Structural insulated panels, this is a system where you design the building. You still have to design it with this in mind. You design the building. They actually build the panels, the walls, off-site. That they would have the plumbing built in, the insulation's in. They put the sheathing on it. And you can see on the picture there was a McDonald's actually built, and the second page shows you that. So there are several building types that you can use the system for. The only limitation is, how big is the wall that's made off-site? Can it fit on a truck, and can it be transported and then tilted up? Now, we would still use the same 50-50 labor materials for a library building. In the case of insulated panels, they look at essentially, where 36% of the modular buildings we could do labor would go off-site. In the case of the panels, 18% of it would go off-site. Now, this is obviously not as good as a modular building, but it does pull some of the labor off-site to construct. You still want to make sure that you have the on-site inspection capabilities, but it's not quite as rigorous because when the panels come in, you still have the ability before drywall goes up to see plumbing, electric, make sure that things are hooked up the right way.
You say it's not as good as a modular?
No. It's just a different system. Okay. But it's easier to inspect once the product comes on site because it's opened up a little bit more. And they're just bringing in the walls or the roof panels. Okay. So part of the building is actually designed off site. The savings is significantly less when you look again at just the wage rate. Saving on the wage rate premium, it's 0.5% to 1.1% of total construction costs that you would see with a wage rate savings, and that'd be about $15,500 to $23,000.
Mm-hmm. Can I interrupt you a minute?
Sure.
We can give all these numbers we want. The best thing to do is design this building, tell us exactly what we need here, and let these contractors put a bid on it. Then we'll know if it's 1.5 or 2, or it could be 6. It could be any kind of numbers. And we're only guessing here. So we're just wasting time. What we need here is to design this building and go on with this project. You tell me the size you want, the size this, what Greenwood Library, what size they need or want, and put on a design, and let's go with it.
But there are probably designs that modular companies could not build, correct?
Right.
Every stick-built company could build anything you can imagine, but... To do what Sam and George are suggesting, which I think is an excellent suggestion, you're going to have to make a design, an architectural design, that can be built by both the stick builders and the modulars.
Just don't get too fancy.
What's that going to cost us?
That's right.
There's the third option as well. A pre-engineered metal building is another option that would, you'd see some cost savings. And actually, they've done that at the Bridgeville Library, and it's actually turned out quite nice. Right. I have pictures.
And this actually gets to Mr. Wilson's point, is the is really what we've just done here is to evaluate the wage rate issue for you.
Oh, yeah.
And as Mr. Izzo mentioned, a pre-engineered metal building, what that does is it saves you on the engineering side of it. It also saves you on construction costs because we're working with a kit of parts.
It's a shame we got to tap dance all around this wage thing, which just puts such a burden on governments like us.
Here's what our thought was.
Run for governor, repeal that.
I'll take that. That'll be my issue.
That's done as prevailing wages.
Pain manager.
Well, that and gasoline. I want to change gasoline, too.
Awesome. So I got you heard issues. It. Dan Shortridge, you got the scoop. George Cole for governor.
Two issues. Can I just follow? Could we not? There's been talk about designing buildings that could be built a multitude of ways, this is before we talked about this, but that we know certain types of systems save money nowadays. This is very interesting. So we could put a bid package out that specified we want, the building would be designed so a modular guy could build it. Stick-built guy can build it, or it could be one of these, I guess. I don't know. But we want this maybe incorporated in it because we know there's going to be savings, and we also know it's going to be built off-site, so there's the wage thing. So, in other words, maybe we could design something that has the flexibility of all these three things, and I don't know if it would work for this, but maybe not. Maybe it would be two bid packages, one of these, and something built that would incorporate a lot of these new methods of building that would save costs, but build it off-site.
And that's what I would recommend, is that we move forward with the design process. We consider all of these cost-saving measures in mind. Looking at the total construction cost of the project, not necessarily focusing on the wage rates, but looking at the total construction cost, the design can be simplified. We can look at pre-engineered buildings, structural insulated panels, looking at systems like that, that will just save overall costs.
Yeah.
And put it all together, and as we go through the early stages of design, evaluate and see what's in the best interest of the county and the library folks.
Well, how much are we paying for all this research?
We had a $16,000 contract to perform this feasibility study. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wigley performed the work that was in the scope of work. When County Council came back to us and asked us, to perform this extra research, he performed this pro bono, so to speak, at no cost to the county.
Well, thank you.
The next.
Satisfied our contract.
So what we were proposing is that we enter into a design contract negotiation with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. Now, our thought process was, the first part of the design would be the further evaluate these things and, maybe take them to the next step and maybe sit down with a modular home builder like Baraka, who's local, a pre-engineered person, and maybe somebody else, and then come back to the county council. But the alternative, I guess, would be, Mike, is that somehow we do side-by-side designs maybe and bid them out a couple ways. I guess that's a possibility.
Well, we're going to have to do it anyway. We're going to build this thing.
Have you guys talked to the Bridgeville Library Committee? Are you working with them?
I've gone by to look at it, yeah. I have not spoken to the person who put the bid specs together. We only had a short period.
Greenwood.
Oh, Greenwood.
Yeah, excuse me. I looked at Bridgeville picture and I'm talking about Bridgeville. The Greenwood Library Committee, have they been on this? Have they told you what they really wanted?
Yes, up through this stage of planning.
The size and the size of what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been working together. Now, the one thing I do have to caution the council about, the way our lease is set up with the town of Greenwood is that they have to approve the site plan. So if we chose an option, they would have to sort of be on board with it as well. Okay. And we have representatives from either the Friends or the town of Greenwood, and they can speak to that better than I can.
And you are going to proceed with also the idea of the steel building?
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. I would think that. I mean, Bridgeville did that. I think that's what Seaford did. I mean, obviously, I would think those things must be fairly cost-effective because they have to pay all their own.
Right.
The county didn't pay half of theirs. So I'm sure they were very concerned about costs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, they're attractive buildings. They don't have to be unattractive just because you,
no,
you,
not at
you
all.
Think they are. They used to be, but they're not so much.
It used to be those buildings would come in and you had the metal skin and that was all your options. But now there are so many different things you can do with it. And we've designed several buildings along those lines. And I think you'll be satisfied.
Okay.
I have a motion in it, you know, if, because we haven't negotiated but design contract. Let me read this motion and you can give me some feedback. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the county engineering department that the engineering department be authorized to negotiate a contract amendment with Davis, Bowen & Friedel, Salisbury, Maryland, to design the expansion of the Greenwood Public Library with an evaluation of alternative building methods to be completed as an initial phase.
That kind of put
Can
us where...
Can I ask you a basic question?
Yeah.
What size of building, basically, do they want?
We need to, the minimum to qualify for the state funding, we need to increase the size from 3,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet.
They want 10,000 basic?
Yeah.
And is that two story or one story?
The county library staff prefers one story. It's easier for them to monitor the users of the library in those cases.
And now, right now, based on our work with the library committee, 10,400 is the ideal size. And that was trimming down from a 15,000 square foot budget that was recommended. Yeah.
And it's a one-story building?
That's correct.
One story.
Anyone care to make a motion to, based on...
I'll make that motion that Mike has just elaborated.
A motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
No. And I don't see enough savings realized by trying to sidestep the union wages. We're taking state money. We're trying to sidestep the fact that we need to pay state wages. And I just don't see it. We don't have many high-paying jobs in this county anyway. Why are we trying to sidestep what little bit of union work that we would... No, I don't agree with it.
Mr. Cole.
I want to vote yes because I'd rather put the money into the building and not into other aspects of the project. So I'd like to move forward and see if there are savings that we can realize.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, whenever we can investigate the possibility of savings, that's good governance.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I don't interpret this motion to say it can't be done with, you know, they
scared
away. It wouldn't be made that way. You're going to investigate. So I'm going to vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Get back to us in 2 weeks, Mike, and tell us what we just did.